Hello, everyone. Welcome to Toonami Therapy. Today on January 13th of 2022. I'm Michael.
I'm Tommy.
And we're here to finally be talking some about the stuff that's airing on Toonami. After 5 weeks or something of not, because they weren't actually airing anything.
Yep.
New? All right, so, right, all we really had was Blade Runner, Black Lotus, and Assassination Classroom. Though, next week they are apparently going to be airing Made in Abyss, which I don't really know much about. Do you know anything about it?
No, I don't, actually. I can look it up. Let's see. What type of anime is it?
Well, I mean, I did look it up a little. I just mean I've never like seen it or anything. It's it looks like it's some sort of like adventure fantasy series. It's a seinen, which is actually a little surprising. You don't see too much of that on Toonami. I think the only one have they aired that's seinen other than One Punch Man and Tokyo Ghoul. I mean, I know the difference between shonen and seinen is kind of arbitrary, and it just depends on what magazine the manga ends in, but, I mean, runs in, but yeah, so we'll see it. From what I saw of it, it looks like it's a kind of dark series. Like, I saw some people say, well, it starts looking cute, but then it gets dark, but, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean bad. Isn't that, you know, I haven't seen it, but isn't that basically what happened with Madoka Magica?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I know you like that series.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Maybe it'll be that. Maybe it won't be. It seemed to mostly get good reviews from what I've seen. I guess we'll see that when it comes. All right. So they apparently also are planning to premiere more stuff after this, like one new show a week. So we'll see what else we get. Hopefully it'll be something good and not something boring.
Yeah, I'm actually kind of excited about this. I'm assuming probably the next thing is going to be Attack on Titan. And then probably Yasuhime. Boy, have I been bombarded with spoilers over Yasuhime this week. I mean, there were so many spoilers. I was just overwhelmed by them. I hope they air that soon so I don't have the entire second season ruined for me.
Yeah, I don't think we'll get Attack on Titan next, because didn't the new season just start airing last week? I think there was in the past like a 3 week gap between the sub and dub. So, but I'm sure we'll be getting Attack on Titan soon.
I just saw they announced a time for the English dub to be. I think it was English dub. Maybe that was just the sub. But I just saw a. Let me see this email. I just got this email. Okay, I got the email, but. Oh, you're right. You're right. That's just the subtitle. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. It might be Yasuhime. That might be what they have soon. Maybe we'll get last season of Food Wars. I'd be more interested in Attack on Titan and Yasuhime, because at least we'd be getting the continuation of where, like, it wasn't a part where you could really stop. Food Wars season 4 ended at a pretty decent point. And everyone says that the last season is the worst of the series, so. Well, I guess we'll find out. In the meantime, we know that we've got Made in Abyss coming, and we'll see how that is.
Yeah.
All right. So, now that we've gotten that, let's get to the Toonami stuff. So we've got Blade Runner, Black Lotus, Episode 9. Now, you didn't watch a bunch of the intervening episodes. Well, I can summarize it pretty quickly. She, remember how there were all those people who, like, were on that hunt and was killing her and other replicants, but she managed to escape and stuff? Well, she went and killed them, the people who were involved in it. And that's basically what you missed. This time she's trying to go after the guy who organized the hunt in revenge, and there's a bunch of action and she manages to do it. There, yep. And that was basically the episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this guy must have like the worst shooting aim I've ever seen. Because, like, he had several chances to shoot her from point-blank range, and he couldn't convert. Mm. So, that was pretty embarrassing.
Honestly, what I thought was, what made me kind of laugh is, so there's a part where she's going up against all the guards, and that friend of hers is, like, outside from like another building, and he's got the sniper rifle and he's shooting through like the windows at the guys to kill them so that, you know, they don't kill her. And I'm just thinking, okay, the building they're in is supposed to be like really secure. They've got these gigantic windows and they don't have, and they're not bulletproof. It's like such a big oversight. So it was okay. I mean, not great, but I do think it's definitely an improvement over the first few episodes.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we've got Assassination Classroom episodes 23 and 24. Hang on, let me just pull it up because I forgot Weirdly, they, even though these were dubbed like years ago, they still put up that like thing about, because of COVID, we have all these were recorded from their homes. So that was kind of weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, eventually they're going to get to the point where it's so like, we're probably never going to go back to the studios. Like, now that they figured out how to do it from home, now it's just going to probably be like, you know what, don't come in. We'll just dub it from your house. So
maybe. Although I have seen some people say, well, that the audio quality has taken a small hit, so they might go back eventually, or they might not. Who knows? I mean, we'll check in a year from now.
Yeah.
Okay. So in this the first episode, we've got, it's funny because Assassination Classroom has, well, I can't say it's got a similar, there's some similarities in the premise to Baka and Test in that it focuses on, you know, the group of the worst performing students.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, there's not really much else it has in common, but it does have that. And so, they decide, well, we ended the Baka and Test with them doing that sort of test of courage thing. So let's start out this season of Assassination Classroom with the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And
I told you the series were pretty alike, you know?
So they go through that and, you know, we get some jokes. Then they try, then the kids decide to try to get the two, teachers, together. And there's some, you know, wacky stuff with that. That's basically the first episode. The second episode involves, them, first there's a goofy attempt to try to, kill Koro Sensei, which, doesn't work because, I mean, we've got how many episodes left? There's 25 episodes in this, and this is episode 2. He's not dying until at least episode 13. Anyway, so we got that. In the meantime, Then ultimately, right, Koro Sensei gets framed for stealing underwear. And and it turns out that's part of some convoluted plan by some other people to trap him so that they can send that I can't remember his name. Yeah, the kid that has the tentacle stuff also against him, and that's the episodes.
So I was thinking about it. These are like the world's best assassins who have been brought to this school. So if that's the case, how come they haven't killed a single person? Like, I can't remember a single person dying during this entire show. So, yeah, they might need to work on their assassination skills. I can understand why they never killed Koro Sensei, but they don't kill anyone. So I don't think they're very good assassins, to be honest with you. And that's why I have no faith in their ability to get Koro Sensei. I mean, like, I get the feeling that once Koro Sensei finally dies, he's not going to actually get even assassinated. So that's how I feel about this school of all-star assassins.
Well, the school, the kids aren't like all-star assassins. They're trying to learn to become assassins. But some of the people who are trying to teach them, yeah, they're not exactly good at killing Koro Sensei either. Although wasn't the rule, if I remember correctly, the reason for the whole series was that Koro Sensei basically told, the governments, hey, if you stop trying, let's see, since you aren't going to be able to kill me, I'll work as a teacher for these students who can, and they can try to kill me. And if so, but in return, you have to stop trying to do it to me. And if you do, then I'll just say, oh, screw this, and just go off and do whatever. And so that was like the convoluted reason for the whole premise. Which, well, it doesn't really make all that much sense. But to be fair, that's kind of part. I have been spoiled on some things, and there are, and we do get explanations for some of these things as to why, you know, Koro Sensei set all this up and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hope so. So, yeah.
Okay.
But as for these two episodes, just kind of average, you know, that's not very particularly good or bad.
Yeah, I thought it was fun. Let's see. Okay, so we've gotten that. Yeah, that's the Toonami stuff, really. Mm-hmm. We didn't watch Naruto. So,
how many episodes of Naruto did they have?
I think they had three.
Wow, that would have been a long night.
Okay. So, we've gotten... So, after that, I guess we'll move on to our other shows. So, we've got Bo-Bo-Bo-Bo-Bo-Bo-Bo, Episode 4. So, Don Patch decides that he wants to join Bo-Bo-Bo and Beauty to fight the Hare Hunt troops. But first, he has to graduate from high school, so he does that, despite Bobo causing all sorts of weird, wacky mayhem. Then they go off, and they meet another Hare Hunt troop guy who has the power to read minds, but in a joke you probably saw coming when he tries to read Bobo's mind, it's so bizarre he can't predict Bobo's attacks.
Mm-hmm.
And so Bobo was able to beat him. Also, the King Nose Hair gets born and then leaves in order to and he's like barely there. He shows up later for the record, but yeah, he just comes out of Bobobo's nose and then leaves announcing that he wants to fulfill his dream of what was it? Entering a bicycle race with a red bicycle. And and then that's the episode.
Yeah, the King Nose Hair part was the funniest part of this episode, in my opinion.
I think the funniest part is when the guy is trying to read Bobobo's mind, except what you see is all these Bobobos at, like, this board meeting coming up with this, like, weird sort of, like, nose hair jewelry thing.
Mm-hmm.
That was good. I also like, I mean, I'm always a sucker for the narrator gags, but I like the part where the narrator keeps like saying, but this, the identity of this mysterious boy remains a mystery. And Beauty gets upset and says, how long are you going to drag this out?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there was some funny stuff here, more in the second half than the first half, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So, I mean, there's not much else to say about, that. The series hasn't really, I mean, the series never has much of a plot, but it does develop more of one, but we're not quite there yet. Don Patch joined, that's a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
Then we've got, Ascendance of a Bookworm, Episode 2. So, mine is decides, well, I'm going to invent shampoo. So she does. Well, they did it episode 2 here. It took Dr. Stone a lot longer to get to that point. They haven't done it in the anime yet. That happens in the next arc. Anyway, so meanwhile, she's also deciding I want to make a book Actually, she doesn't really end up doing that much that makes too much of a move there out. Although she gets a chalkboard that she can write on, or I don't know, not chalkboard. I can't remember what they called it, but
parchment.
What?
Parchment.
No, not the parchment. The thing that was kind of like the chalkboard, the little small thing. What are those called? I know people used to use
slate. Them.
Slate. That's it. Thank you. She got the slate and now learned how to write her name in this language. I kind of think they should have learned maybe the rest of the alphabet, but, you know, there's a step there. And, and she's decided, and that's basically it, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, again, I was disappointed. I feel kind of like it's giving a lot of Dr. Stone vibes. like it feels like it's the same show, but there's just not enough characters, and you're pretty much relying on mine to carry the whole show by herself. But it's like this relationship she has with her family seems really weird. And, I just feel like it's going too slow. That's my biggest problem with it. It's just crawling, and it needs to get going faster soon, because right now it's just dragging out, you know?
Yeah, it feels like that's why they made sure to put that stuff at the beginning of the first episode and those, like, things after the credits to tease stuff. Say, no, really, stick with us. We're going somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I haven't been big on it. But on the other hand, I like Dr. Stone, but I really don't care for the first few episodes of it. It's not really... It's not really until maybe episode 6 or 7 that I kind of started really liking it. That's when they encounter the village. So, of course, that's also when the series actually starts to realizes, wait, the coolest thing about this show is the science stuff. Let's focus on that.
Mm-hmm.
But, so yeah, I also was thinking a lot about Dr. Stone It's too bad that she doesn't have Senku with her, because he would have made the printing press by the end of this episode, or at least the end of episode 3. I mean, they're already at medieval technology. You could have gotten to that. But yeah, I've heard enough good things about this series, and I still have some hopes for it. There's been a number of things that had weak starts. It's just, I don't know where the show is supposed to be going. She's just kind of got the vague goal of trying to make books and stuff. It does kind of feel like these could have been maybe not necessarily combined into one episode, but this could have been done in an episode and a half.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We've got that. Then we've got Fate Stay Night Unlimited Blade Work. So do you want me to be doing the recap things for you?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay. All right. So in this episode... Well, basically, this episode covers the events of the first episode, except instead of being from Rin's point of view, it's from Eren Yeager's point of view. I mean, Shiro's point of view. I'm sorry, the voice is just too familiar. So Shiro is... we get that... He's just kind of, a bunch of it is just him doing kind of stuff. Then we find out the stuff, showing us his life and such. We also, basically the big thing is, like in the previous episode, he ends up observing that whole thing between Archer and Lancer and gets killed, but then gets brought back. But then Lancer shows up again and tries to kill him. Then he, in one of the luckiest things ever, accidentally somehow manages to summon Saber as his servant. By, like, accident. Good thing he... I assume the summoning circle was... Because I know Sakura, who he's, like... Is he living with her, or how exactly is that working out? I'm a little confused.
I think he's living with her. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So she's because I know she's in the thing, so she must have summoned something, and then he just inadvertently did it somehow and got Saber. So Saber's able to beat Lancer, and then she finds Archer and attacks him, and is basically about to win, despite the fact that she had just gotten through a fight, which kind of makes Archer seem really lame. But then Shiro's like, hey, wait, don't do that, because, you know, Rin's there and that stuff. And then we basically end up where we ended up at the end of the previous episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I liked it, but I did find this less interesting than the previous one.
Yeah, definitely agree with you there. The episode 0 was really good. This one, it was okay, but I've always found Shiro to not be all that interesting as a character. So we'll have to see if he turns out better in this one than he did in the first one.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I'm trying to work out whether my lower level of interest is like the episode itself, or is it because a lot of this is just repeating what we saw in the first episode.
Mm-hmm.
Probably a little here, a little there.
Mm-hmm.
I am curious as to when this will. So, like I mentioned, the original anime, this, and the Heaven's Feel movies are all adaptations of the three different routes of the video game. And since this is a different route than the one that first anime adapted, I'm wondering what the split-off point is, because I didn't watch the original anime, but I did look at a synopsis of the first few episodes, and I'm looking and saying, yeah, all this basically happened exactly the same. Mm-hmm. So I know there's a split off point, and I'm wondering when that will be. Hopefully soon, so that you don't end up just seeing all the same stuff again.
Yeah.
For me, it's all new, but...
Yeah.
Okay. Did I have any other comments here? I did notice that, Ilya, who we do briefly see, refers to him as Big Brother, so I guess she knows, that... Yeah, because Shiro's Kiritsugu's adopted kid, and then Ilya's his actual kid, mm-hmm. as we know from the prequel, mm-hmm. Fate Zero. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't really know much at all about Ilya, other than I know that apparently the game originally was going to have a separate route for her, but to get it out in time, they kind of had to get rid of it and incorporate some of it into Sakura's route.
Mm-hmm.
So, yep. Yeah, other than that, that's that. We've got Saber back. Yeah.
Yep.
Anything else?
No, that's about it.
All right. That's the shows we watched. Yay. I guess we can give our coveted top threes then.
Yeah, we ought to start tracking these. I'll have to at least start tracking mine. Let's see. First place. No, which way do I start? I'll start with third place. Third place will be Bobobo. And second place will be Ascendance of a Bookworm. And first place will be Fate Stay Night.
For me, it will, be, similar. I'll put Bobobo for third place, Assassination Classroom in second, and Fate Stay Night in first place. I hope we do, although I'm feeling a little bad because I'm like, uh-oh, are we just going to be giving Fate Stay Night first place perpetually?
Well, if we get some new stuff on Toonami, maybe not.
Well, I know that I like the later episodes of Bobobo enough that some of those will be hitting first place. We're just not at that point yet.
Yeah.
Okay. So those are those. So I have continued my goal of I'm going to check out each new series that's starting this season, at least if it's in one of the services I have a subscription to. So sorry, High Dive.
Mm-hmm.
Did you want me to talk some about that now, or would you maybe prefer to wait when I've seen a few like more stuff?
Go ahead, tell me. It doesn't matter to me.
Okay, so so what I'm kind of doing is I'm trying to make I'm trying to go through them sort of in the order they aired. And I'm kind of dropping them off if they're not as interesting to me. So basically the stuff that aired on January 5th, and yes, I'm being kind of behind on a lot of things. I'm only doing maybe one or two episodes per day. I watched one episode of each, then I like, there's four, and I'm like, okay, I'll drop one of them next for the second episode. I watched three, then dropped one, and then I'll do that for the next one, presumably. I'll go through them, quick. So Orient, it is a series about how an alternate history in the, I don't know, some time period in Japan. I think they said Warring States period, which I think is when Inuyasha is supposed to take place. So the premise of this is that I can't remember what they're called because they use like three different words to describe them. But a bunch of like these monsters just show up and take over Japan, and then it's about fighting against them and stuff. So it's honestly the first two episodes so far are basically just a really cliche shonen series. that seem to, as far as I can tell, are trying to hammer the message that you should take really stupid risks for no reason other than your own pride, because don't worry, the plot will take care of you. Mm-hmm. Like just a matter. Yeah, not much else to say there. A lot of the setting doesn't really make too much sense. I also wasn't that interested in policing a pod. It was just kind of this more comedy series about these two female police officers, and it was okay, but I'm like, yeah, it's not something I'm going to be super into, so I only watched one episode. Tokyo 24th Ward, I want to talk about, because you mentioned that you read something about it last time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's... So the first episode is an hour long, and oh man, is it padded. It could have been half an hour.
Mm-hmm.
It's so weird, because, like... So there's a little bit at the beginning that, like, establishes, yeah, there's science fiction in the series. And then the series forgets about that for about half an hour. And it's just kind of boring, almost like regular show. And I forgot that he was even supposed to have science fiction until they get a call, and then the characters develop superpowers somehow. And then the second episode, you're thinking, okay, so it'll be a kind of cool science fiction action series. And then the second episode abandons all of that.
Uh-huh.
So no more of that. Yeah, the most interesting thing I want to mention, actually, is because I was trying to watch these with Spanish subtitles. There's a part where a character, after they manage to like stop this train from hitting someone and killing them, who... manages to somehow get their legs super stuck under the tracks, even though if you look, it doesn't make any sense how they managed to do that. And the character says, although my goal was to make the train like become boom. And I'm thinking, wait, is this indication that he was actually, because the guy who's saying this is a good guy, I think, wait, was he saying he was going to blow up the train? And I look at the English one, and he says, oh, I was going to graffiti bomb the train. I'm like, okay, that makes more sense, and that's completely different. Man, the Spanish subtitles are sometimes not the greatest. Although I looked at the Portuguese one, this one only had English, Spanish, and Portuguese, and then it said that same thing, so I'm like, okay, maybe it's just an esoteric phrase. I don't know, but that would be very confusing if you didn't look at the English one to see what it referred to.
Uh-huh.
Then In the Land of Leodale, Isekai, I actually kind of liked it more. I liked these of the ones I watched. It's really cliche when you get down to it, but it was kind of funny in the way some of the early episodes of that time I got reincarnated as a slime were. So If it stays like that, that'll be good. But hopefully it won't do what slime did and then just make it all about battles that the main character easily wins.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Those are those, series. I have two others, I guess I'll mention that I did watch that I dropped for totally different reasons, ironically. After one episode. The first was World's End Harem, which I look at the title like, oh, harem. Well, okay, this is going to be a dumb series, but hey, let's be fair. I mean, I like Nisekoi and We Never Learn. You can have like that sort of series that's good. And then no, this is not one of those. This is a very stupid series. So the premise is that this guy, the premise is that this guy has some like disease, and this takes place in 2040. So he goes under cryogenic freezing so that when he comes out, like the cure will be available and stuff. He comes out, but then it turns out in the meantime, some virus popped up that basically killed almost all the men in the world. So now he has to help reproduce the world.
Oh, man. Are you serious?
That's the premise of the series.
Is this a hentai?
No. Well, okay. It's weird. So there is a bunch of nudity, but it's all like censored out, like really crudely. Like there's just like these black bars there. So I'm thinking maybe it's one of those series where this is a broad, this is a normal one. And then at the end of like, and then like, you know, on like some other channel, they air it uncut. I know there's been a few series that were like that. It's weird because it's not even, I even like looked at some reviews and they bring up the point. So, okay, you can just have a really stupid excuse for like, you know, sex stuff, but it also tries to like make it seem more serious and stuff. Like the question is like, okay, so why can't you just do artificial insemination? Oh well, because you know, quantum. Like that's basically the explanation. Yeah, it was a very, I will be honest, I actually did laugh sometimes at how stupid some things were, but yeah, this is a I'm done with this after one episode thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Apparently though, the weird thing is I did look a little, apparently despite the premise, he doesn't actually like do it with anyone for like a long time in this series, cuz he's spending a lot of his time trying to find this like a girl he had a crush on before the whole thing happened, who's missing. Yeah, there's just a lot of dumb stuff in this episode, and I'll be honest, I had a few laughs, but it's one of those things like, okay, like you're not going to get any more laughs out of me. I am just left wondering, is this like supposed to be a parody that's just doing it all straight faced? Is it? I don't know, but it was a very stupid series. would not recommend. Anyway, on the opposite side of the thing, Slow Loop, which I watched, and it's about a series apparently about fishing. About these like two girls, and you know, one of them is like interested in fishing and the other one is trying to learn it because their parents, one of them, I know their father died. I can't remember if that was the same for the other, but their parents are going to get married, so they're going to be sisters and stuff. And you know, it's just a nice cute series I liked. But I'm going to be dropping it because I looked and it's based on a manga. The manga is not translated currently, and I am terrified of the possibility I'll get really into the series and I won't be able to see it continue past the anime. So I'm not necessarily dropping it. I'm going to put it to the side for now and see if, you know, maybe that changes. You know, if something, one starts translating it, then maybe I'll pick it up again. Because it was actually probably the best of these series that I've described. Yeah, like with some funny stuff, and yeah, it was cute and nice. Oh wait, there was one other show I watched. It was that Girls Frontline, which is basically it's dumb but kind of fun. It's about this like world where like there are these robot fighters who are all, of course, look like cute girls. And it's kind of an action series, and there's not really much plot, but the action was actually kind of fun, so I don't know, it was okay. It's based on some video game, apparently, some gacha game.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's all those series. So, yeah. And, yep, there you go. I don't know if that was interesting at all, but... I'll be checking out some more series. I also discovered that, I don't know if you've noticed this, but Funimation's player on their site is really, really annoying for watching stuff subtitled. Because if you pause it, the little, like, you know, all, like, the buttons, like, you know, the play and the pause and all that stuff pops up and covers up the subtitle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah,
I never noticed this, but, well, I mean, they did change the way it worked, but... When it was it's fine if I'm watching something dubbed, it doesn't matter then. But if I'm watching something subbed, it's really annoying.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's all of those things. I guess I'll keep updated with more things as it goes on. I want to keep going because some of the ones I'm actually interested in, I have not gotten to yet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's all our anime. Did you have anything else to say about anime?
Not for this week, no.
All right, let's move on to The Amazing Race, episode 2 of season 33. Compared to last week where I had like all these comments and stuff to say, I don't really have that much to say about this episode, I don't think. Other than, I mean, I guess the ending, of course.
Yeah.
I don't know. Did you have any thoughts on the episode itself?
Yeah, I am so disappointed that we didn't get to see Raquel and Kayla do the trousers song, because they would have been the perfect team to do that old trousers song. Instead, they choose to do the barrel thing, and we're all watching it like, why did they choose to do that? But then they managed to do it just fine. It just would have been so funny to see him do it. I know we got that one, I forget what the name of the guy is, the older guy who's with his wife, and they did it, and that was pretty funny. So yeah, that part, and whenever they play the bagpipes and the guy giving the clue would just like try to give him the clue as fast as possible because it sounded so terrible, and you could tell he was getting really annoyed. He's just like, here. It was really funny.
Okay. So, yeah, one fun thing, I did look up the song, the Donald Where's Your Trousers, because I thought, oh, that's like some Irish folk song. No, it's actually like just, it's actually this comedy song some guy named Andy Stewart wrote in 1960. Mm. According to Wikipedia, Stewart wrote the song in 10 minutes while he sat trouserless in the lavatory of a recording studio.
That's pretty funny.
Yep. So, yeah, they mentioned that a bunch of the people were not. So, yeah, not that much really to say about the episode otherwise. Other than I was saying that I thought, oh, the father-daughter team, they'll, be eliminated fast because we're not seeing much of them. And then we're eliminated, or, they'll either be eliminated or there'll be a team that isn't returning after the suspension. So they were eliminated, but maybe they'll be returning because, you know, this episode, Phil, talked to all of them and said, well, you know, coronavirus, we got to suspend filming. And then it just says 19 months later. And then they start up again. And he mentioned something about how some people weren't able to return, but we've got people to replace them. Some familiar faces, and you don't see who. So I'm going to assume they just brought back the eliminated teams.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. But I'm trying to stay away from any spoilers, but that's my guess too. Okay, here's a question for you, since you watched this so longer than me. Has there ever been a time when they brought back people who have been eliminated?
There's a lot of seasons I haven't seen, but I've never seen it in any season I've seen.
Uh-huh. So it's not like how Survivor has these dumb twists where someone, you know, gets voted out as the third person voted out and then ends up winning the season. We'll see what happens with these people.
I remember this one episode of this one season of Big Brother did have that happen. I remember it because the people who got evicted, they then put up a poll, like the audience could vote which one to come back. And then they voted for this one person and, you know, they came back and stuff and then got evicted immediately. And it's so weird because this was one a season where there were a bunch of, you know, people could vote on stuff from outside. And I just remember, and of course, the alliance that basically voted the person out, then there's some, I don't know, the viewers voted for some person to get some reward. And then one of the persons who's on that alliance and voted them out is all depressed that they didn't get it. And someone's like saying, oh, because, I don't know, they had some special reason or something. And someone's saying, oh, well, you know, the audience wouldn't be that mean. And I'm just thinking, you, the audience voted this guy back in and you immediately got rid of him. Of course they're not going to be on your side. Man, I have not seen Big Brother in forever. Anyway, so yeah, there's only two possibilities I can think of, because Phil says like familiar faces. So they're either going to be people from that were eliminated previously, which I think is what's going to happen, or it means we're going to bring back some people from previous seasons of The Amazing Race.
Yeah, I thought of that too, but how unfair would that be? It's like, okay, like I said, the Survivor thing, like they literally start out like two legs ahead of everybody else. I mean, that, like, that would be like giving someone immunity until the merge in Survivor. Like, it's just not fair. So they better just bring back the people who got knocked out, because that would be even dumber. It's like, oh, here's Boston Bob and Amber,
yeah,
and they're gonna get to start the show on leg number three when everyone else had to do all this stuff just to get this far.
Yeah, I'm going to be assuming that I didn't see exactly who I would say I didn't know who wasn't coming back, because I wasn't like paying close attention to who was on screen, but I was looking something up and I'm looking at the list right now of the people that aren't coming back, so I do know now, but I do not know who the replacements are. That is my assumption. It will be the eliminated teams. Those that would make the most sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah, we'll see what's that. Other than that, I didn't have too much to really say about the season. I guess we'll see how it goes, and we'll also see what changes they made to the show to acclimate, if that's the right word, to all the coronavirus restrictions.
So I'm looking it up here. This song, Donna, Where's Your Choosers, hit number 4 in the UK. I mean, some bands barely get one top 5 hit in their entire career. And this guy with that song managed to hit number 4 in the UK. That's pretty impressive.
Well, I mean, remember, sometimes weird songs, especially back then, could be big hits, like the Witch Doctor song, like the ooh ee ooh ah ah ting tang waddle bing bang. That was that hit number 1 in the US.
Well, what I mean is, yeah, it hit number 4 in 1989.
Oh,
that's what it says here.
Oh, I didn't understand what you were saying. Yeah,
it hit 1989. It hit number 4, which is like almost 30 years after it came out.
Yeah, that's an interesting. Okay, now I see what you're saying. Yeah, that's a weird one, but So now we know. Now we've learned about music in Scotland or Ireland, or yeah, this was a Scotland song. So yeah, that's that for that series. We'll see what we get more later on. I mean, we'll see what next week has for us.
Yep. Okay.
Yep. And I'm sure we'll have a lot to talk about there. I know a few of the changes they've made, but I haven't looked too in-depth on some of the stuff. So it'll be interesting to see how that ends up.
Okay.
I'm actually, especially, what I am curious about is whether they will be carrying over, because at the end of this leg, they had all, you know, because normally the earlier you get in, the earlier you leave for the next leg. So are they going to be resetting everyone to leave at the same time, or will they have, be like keeping in their, like, they'll be trying to, like, you know, stagger them according to when they, like, came in at this one?
Uh-huh. Yeah, that'll be interesting to see.
Okay.
Okay.
And that's it, basically. We'll see you next week for talking about more anime stuff, including Made in Abyss, our new show, and More Amazing Race, and yeah, whatever else we might want to talk about. See you then.
Bye, Nee.